Hello and welcome to In Stitches, the upholstery podcast for upholsterers, telling your story and inspiring others. Today, it's my great joy to welcome Petra Gadsby to the show. I almost got her name wrong as well. I'm good at this, aren't I? Welcome, Petra.
Hi, Robbie. Thanks for having me.
Just to kick off, as this is the first new series after a break, quite a long break, for which I apologise. So the viewpoint for this series is students from first year to third year, with some on advanced diplomas. In dovetailing the podcasts, I thought it would be nice to start with two students that have gone through the process and set up their own business. Petra is one of those students who has gone through the whole process and now is running her own very successful business. So Petra, to kick off with, I'd like to ask, did you know when you left school that you would like to work in upholstery? And if not, what did you want to do?
Right. I never knew what I wanted to do until the age of about 28. So, you know, when people say like they want to be a singer since they are 2 years old, and now I never knew what I wanted to do. I was just enjoying myself, really, just through my whole life.
What did you get up to? What things were you doing?
Yeah, so when I went to college, which is, and I did my A-levels, and technically it should prepare me for university. However, being myself, I just didn't think that I've got the guts nor the knowledge to join university, which was the silliest thing ever, but nor to go to work. So I've decided to come to UK as an au pair. Yeah, learn the language, you know, explore a bit. And I did that for so many years. And then I've decided to go back home. Thinking, you know, I'm going to see all my friends, see what I want to do. That worked out for about 2 months and I came back to UK, found a job and stayed there for about 3 years. Then I had another two additional jobs to that. So I basically worked three jobs. And then I met my husband when I was ready to go back to Czech, stayed. And whilst obviously we were together, well, he's in the armed forces, so I was being the, you know, supportive wife, stay at home. And we did exactly basically what we felt was great, you know, for us, for the family, for the children. And I did that for about 6 years.
So just jumping back a little bit, coming to the UK, did you have a basic understanding of English?
I did A-levels in English, but it is basically your school English, you know, your academic English. So all you're learning are the phrases and my name is, I have two brothers, you know, I live in and stuff like that. So when you are thrown in to all the dialects and all the accents and meeting people from Liverpool, it's just really not the English that you learned.
Because it's an added sort of complication, I think, sort of, when you've got to learn a language as well as settle in. I've done it myself and it is really hard to do.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. So the jobs that you've had, were any of them, did you really enjoy them? Did you get a buzz from them? Were you passionate about them or were they just a job?
No. So basically everything I did was, yeah, I was passionate about them, but they were still just the job. I did not see myself doing it forever. I mean, I was always a bit arty, but not arty in a sense of do a painting or make a sculpture or something like that. It's just, I just didn't know what it was going to be until when Hannah was born, our daughter. I think I was about 29. I went to do an evening course in upholstery, which was in Birmingham. And well, that was it. I was like hooked. And I did only 1 year. I still have it. It's dreadful, but it's brilliant. It just got me going. But now being at the stage where I am, you know, when you do your first piece and you get to a certain point and you started to see what you've done wrong with the first piece, but we all have to start somewhere. But yeah, so I did that. Then we moved again. I did a couple of bits, you know, for friends and family, nothing massive. And what happened after was that our son got ill. I stopped working in my cleaning business straight away. And when he was getting better, when we knew that he's already okay, this course suddenly came up that I've been following for ages. You know, you have certain idols or you have people that you follow in the upholstery area. And they decided to open a school and start courses. And that was it. I was in.
Yeah.
You know, life's too short.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So where was that, Petra?
So I studied and still study at British School of Upholstered Furniture in Henley with Gareth Rees and Gregory Cooper Jones. Could not rate the school high enough. That was just the eye-opening for me. I want to be going there forever. I don't think I would like to be though. But it's just the knowledge and the skill that's there. It's just something else.
They do get a lot of coverage on this show, but they clearly are leading the field, I guess. Well, from the people that I've interviewed, at least. And they are very generous with their time as well.
So, yeah, I see why.
Have you always had that creative streak in you that wanted to create things like that? Is that something that's been with you a long time, or is it something you've kind of learned recently?
Yeah, no, I have always been creative in something. I was always making something, you know, whether it was a pot for pencils, or I remember actually drawing a picture for my auntie in a chalk. I think she still has it. It was a zodiac with like weird abstract backing. But I never stuck to anything. That's the thing. I just always jumped from one thing to another when it comes to something crafty.
So what led to that sort of, how did you get that sort of passion? What created that sort of love of upholstery?
I think the fact that you make so much from so little. You know, the subject of upholstery is so broad. You don't just make a chair. You have to think it depends what path it takes you. You know, whether you go, let's say, eco path, you're thinking sustainability, you're thinking design, you're thinking, you know, the finishes. So you can put, no matter what way you're inclined to, whether you like, you know, luxury, or whether you like country style shabby chic or whatever, you can apply anything that's in your mind into upholstery. And at the same time, creating a piece that helps everybody. It's going to be here forever because we all need to plonk our bums onto something. And, you know, and it's been here for centuries. There were, if you go through the whole history of upholstery, it's mesmerizing. I just feel goosebumps right now just to think about it. I just never felt about anything like that. And after making one chair, you know, you actually produce something that is not only beautiful, but also useful. Absolutely. And it basically ticks all the boxes that William Morris actually said in his quote, didn't he?
So I almost feels like a daft question after what you've just said, but what has surprised you about upholstery?
Oh, gosh, what has surprised me? I think the complexity and the time it takes, you know, the way it's portrayed many times, it's the fact that you just take a fabric and stapling it over. Unfortunately, when you get to the business, you see that more than once when that was the case. It's not that the case at all. And the types of upholstery there are, you never know what you're going to get. Not every chair is the same. You know, you can't know how to do wing back and apply that to every other piece. That's not how things are, especially when you have, let's say, modern and traditional upholstery. That's totally different ballgame. I would, for example, never, you know, doing, let's say, traditional piece and suddenly decided to, for example, take an automotive upholstery, even though you have just sewing and such, but it's totally different. Yeah. So the complexity of it, I think that's just what still surprises me.
Yeah, it is the joy of the trade, I guess.
Yeah.
So we always ask, what advice would you give? So I'd like to turn that around. What advice would you like to ask? And away from the school, what would benefit you or benefit others?
So what would definitely benefit others was support from professionals who've been out there for ages. There's so many skilled and knowledgeable people who, however, don't have time or, I don't know, the resources or the will to help students. As a student, it's really hard to find somebody who will teach you following your education. It's literally a minefield to get out there and trying to find something. I think I called so many posters who I thought were any good in my area, and there was possibility of them taking me on before we started where we are. But I would definitely say to the students, don't give up. And I would say to all the professionals, if they can, please, you know, offer, even if it's just, you know, a little very short apprenticeship or work experience, whatever is there, just go and see who, let's say, who's finished or who's planning to finish in, and give them a chance.
I think that's lovely. So what are your aspirations?
Oh, goodness, so many. We would like to, I don't really know if I've got many aspirations. I've got too many. So for example, like this, for me, it's the legacy that I'd like to leave for, you know, not only my children, to show them that if you have a dream and you do whatever it takes, you can make it happen if you work hard enough. or if you work efficiently enough, as Wiseman says. So in that way, I'd like to leave that behind. And in way of a business, I have just too many ideas that I can't let go out into the air now.
I'd really like to talk to you about the business, because you are a student that has come through this process and you have set up your own business. Obviously, some of the steps that you've taken to set up your business were that you worked with me for probably 2 years.
Best time of my life.
You don't have to say that, but thank you.
Oh, no, love it there.
But it was a joy to have you. But what I'm really interested in is how you found the switch from being a student, coming to work for me, and then setting up your own business, because it is a big step. There's a lot of things to learn outside of upholstery. And I'd just be really interested to hear your thoughts on how you coped with that and how you managed your time.
Yeah, so as you know, before, obviously, when you took me on, I was already registered as self-employed. However, it was just me in the dining room, just trying to do, you know, piece by piece. But then getting to you, it was brilliant because I didn't have to worry about any of the business aspect and I could just learn, even though I was, you know, freaked out every little piece that came under my hands. I was like, oh, how can I do this? And, you know, just do it. So that was a brilliant school. But regarding the business way, that was hard. I'm not very business minded when it comes to all the, I don't know, for example, you know, legal stuff and all the admin. I'm going to admit it right here. Luckily, my husband is. So, you know, together, I would like to think that we create the dream team because I've got something he hasn't got and the other way around.
Yeah. But you are nonetheless having to do admin and you are having to do that side of the business.
Yeah.
From a point of view of understanding and learning the complexities of it, how have you found sort of that side of things?
So, for example, from the admin point of view, I had to find out that because I still obviously I work my time around our children, so I had to be on a bench, and I still do now when I'm on a bench, you know, in the morning until the time they finish school, then I pick them up and I do all my written quotations and every other admin in the afternoon when I can, and everything else like quotation visits and stuff, I had to allocate now specific days to it. And you try to put together, you try to link together, for example, let's say deliveries, collections, and in everything into one area to maximize your time. I'm still finding it difficult, but it's getting better and better. So the effectiveness is improving every single week, which is something that's brilliant. But if I could recommend, it is find and plan the time that you can, whatever you can fit into when. So, because I used to do it the other way around, when I then lost time on the bench, you know, that wasn't good. So it's the effectiveness that we have to obviously deal with. And it's getting better. It's really good. And luckily, I've got a brilliant team who helped me with this. So
this is something I've got to discuss with you as well, because I mean, you've been, obviously with the help of Vernon, you've been very ambitious, proactive in developing and growing your business. And I'm sort of that whole part of it, of working with people and having people on board with you. How have you found that?
Oh, I love it. I can't work on my own all the time. I can't say that I cannot work on my own. It's just that I like having one day on my own. Everything else, I'm a team player. And it is very important to have the team that sticks together. And, you know, everybody needs to have their own purpose, their own role. And if they don't, and everybody can. So in our team, for example, we've got somebody who does modern upholstery, somebody who does traditional, somebody who does the machining. So that way it works perfectly. So it happens that all of us, sometimes we work on one piece. We don't have the thing when, you know, one person works on one piece. I just find that if everybody works together, no matter what it is, even if it's in one job or many businesses together, it's always much better sticking together, helping each other out. So working in a team and the banter, the ideas, it's sometimes you can overthink a process. And sometimes if you have people who can throw in their idea, you find it out, you solve it much faster and in a much better way.
Yeah.
So that is something that I find absolutely brilliant. And obviously me being chatty, just saying.
Are you?
Just a little bit. But, you know, it's great. We're just having fun is something that I need.
Because, I mean, something I'd like to touch on, actually, is like, obviously, you worked for me for a couple of years and then you've moved on to set your own business up. And you effectively, you are a competitor of my business. But we work together. We don't work apart. And it's because we've built a relationship between ourselves and because we don't want to step on each other's toes that we can work together. And I just think that that's something that's so important because I see a lot of people, a lot of posts on various forums about how students are then nicking their work and so on. And I really like the fact that you and I have created a team.
Yeah.
Do you know, and I think it's a lesson to learn for other people. Build a relationship, grow together, and then you're no longer competitors. You're working together.
I do have to say, though, that the thank goes to you. That's on your part because you, as an experienced upholsterer with, you know, long established great business, have welcomed me. And, you know, I'm the new fish in the pond, really. So that is all just thanks to you. And if everybody else felt that way, it would be a much better place. I do find it can become very difficult for the newbies out there because they do not have as, you know, welcoming arms as you do. It's just, and it is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to speak to, go and visit, everything together, because you do not see it that way. You do not see me as a competition. And if I need your help, I know that you are there. I can always call you or blah, blah, ask anything, you know, vice versa. And it would be much better if we all work that way. But it is a bit sad that people don't see that way.
But anyway, let's stop bigging ourselves. another part of thing I'd like to discuss with you, obviously you're a student, you've been, like, how many years have you been at upholstery now?
Oh my gosh, without lockdown it would be three. If I'm counting lockdown, it's four because I haven't finished my last traditional piece yet.
You've actually been 4 years working because it was lockdown, you were still working. How are you managing to continue your growth and your learning in upholstery, in the trade? Because obviously that's really the key element to you developing your business, is you gaining knowledge. So what steps have you taken to make sure that you keep learning?
So the most important, the biggest one really, is to bite the bullet and just take the piece on. So I had a piece that I was scared of.
Stop you. Hang on, I want to stop you because that's a really big statement you've made.
Okay.
So just bear with me. Bite the bullet and take the piece on. How do you know you're taking on a piece that is workable? Because there are some pieces out there that I personally wouldn't touch. Because I know that the time that they would take, how are you going to assess that? What's your process for working out if something is worth doing or not?
Oh, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that I do it right, you know, right in terms of time or something. So I still take it on.
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Okay. Well, I don't know. It's just, we just somehow work it out in a way. If I don't know something of it, I get to you. I can turn to you. I can turn to, you know, the tutors. I can turn to other upholsterers. Luckily, lots of them are very helpful. If I'm stuck, call them, take a picture, send it, you know, ask a question. So if you find those lovely people who can help you out, definitely do it. You know, don't be afraid to ask. I mean, you might annoy them, but that's not your problem.
It's so right. And I interrupted you and go back to talking about the piece that you just...
Oh, no, it's fine. So it was just about the learning. So you cannot really learn if you do just one piece on and on and on. So you do have to, like I said, bite the bullet and take the piece that you have no idea about and do it. If you know the basic principles, you always have books and, like I said, knowledgeable people hopefully to turn to, like, you know, when it comes to, for example, traditional upholstery and everything. So, and I was really lucky to have great friends who, you know, from the beginning came to help me, as we know. And so now, once you do it once, it becomes so easy, like springing, hated springing, delayed. Now, weirdly, love it. So it's all about, I know, don't laugh at me. I know I've been saying it all the time. I will never love it. It's brilliant. I've done 80, you know, 48 springs now in one unit, and I'm so happy about it.
You shared it on Instagram and it looked really lovely what you've done.
So, yeah, thanks. Yeah. But I do have to say, though, again, it's all about learning. So, and again, this is where the team comes in. I do this piece with Tina, who is brilliant at her upholstery. She's so good. She's done her advanced diploma and she is doing the other part of Spring In. So we both are learning as we do it because we are trying to figure it out together. I mean, you revert to the original pictures on the piece, assess whether it was done correctly or not. Then you have a look at the way you've learned and obviously the history of the piece or the age of the piece. And you go on from there. You know, we put our heads together and then just do it, really. And that's our way of learning. I mean, that's not saying that I wouldn't want to go on another course. I keep bothering Gareth all the time. I was like, when can you hear me back? When can you hear me back? But he's like, finish your piece. So I have to finish my chair and then he might have me back.
So who inspires you?
Oh, I cannot say because there are so many people. So many. When it comes to upholstery, oh my. I can't say. There are just too many people. Obviously, you know, being biased to my choices would be some of them. And there are just lots of them, lots of people that inspire me. So I can't really.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
From all of them.
And I think you've already answered this, but what part of the skill do you most want to master?
Traditional is my aim. I want to really get
something specific within upholstery.
Something specific.
Because that's quite broad.
Pattern matching, actually. Yeah. Pattern matching is something that I find very intriguing. It's very, you know, you have to be kind of, if you want to have a really good pattern matching, sometimes you have to be literally millimeter precise. And when it's a complex piece and round, I find it very difficult. So, yeah. Pattern matching. Definitely. Okay.
Yeah. Brilliant. Good answer. And we come to the end of the questions.
I happen to know
that you've got possibly the worst taste in music of anyone I've ever met. So
you don't know what you mean.
You have to choose a piece of music, a book and a film because it's desert islands.
Right. As we know, my taste in music is somehow eclectic, so I can't choose just like one piece. So can I choose two?
Oh, go on then. As it's you.
Right, so I'll tell you what, though. I would have a mixtape.
Right, you can't have a mixtape. That doesn't count.
Right, so I would have probably either The Killers or Texas. Do you know what they are? Because your music is different than mine, obviously.
Yes, but I do know what they are, sadly. Anyway, carry on.
I did not choose Europop, so there you go.
You didn't.
And when it's a book, so it would be a collection of books by a Czech writer, Helena Pavlovská. They're basically just short, very funny stories that always cheer me up. And if it's a film, there are two films, actually. One is called, oh my gosh, I'm going to be slated for this. One is called Cutting Edge. What? And I don't think you've ever seen it.
No.
I'll lend you a DVD. And the other one is called Untouchable.
Oh, okay. That's a brilliant film.
Oh, it's such a good movie. It's really good. So it's everything, you know, feel good thing. Because who wants to be miserable on a deserted island?
Brilliant. Petra, thank you so much for joining me. You've been an absolute pleasure and quite insightful. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, it would be really lovely if you could share. Thank you very much. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Bye.